king from singing.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months, and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The grace and peace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Context is everything. Preachers know this. It matters who you are preaching to and when it's happening, which makes a recorded sermon like this one a real challenge. The context of our world is changing so rapidly that what was a timely word just 1 week ago can seem painfully out of date today. I'm writing and recording this sermon in the context of the persistent protests over the murder of George Floyd. This may still be the context of our world when you hear this sermon, or our world may have changed again in significant ways that I cannot now even imagine. But I am comforted by this conviction. The context into which Mary, the mother of our Lord, sang the Magnificat is familiar to people of every time and every place, and in that sense, her story is always a timely story for the people of God to hear. Mary sings of the proud, the powerful, and the rich. People of every age hear her song and resonate with it. "Yes, I know who you're singing about, Mary. I can put names and faces to the proud, the powerful, and the rich." And Mary sings of the lowly and the hungry. And again, people of every time and place can bring to their minds the names and faces of people who are hungry and poor, people we would identify today as marginalized. Listen again to the centerpiece of Mary's song. "You have scattered the proud and brought down the powerful from their thrones. You have lifted up the lowly and filled the hungry with good things." In the context of 2 solid weeks of daily protests, it's not hard to hear these words in a call and response style chant. I can imagine thousands of people standing in the streets in protest, holding up signs and calling out phrases like these: "Scatter the proud, lift up the lowly. Scatter the proud, lift up the lowly." In the context of daily street protests, we should not fail to hear how precisely the Magnificat fits this style of advocacy. We should also not fail to hear and distinguish the law and the gospel in the Song of Mary. Lutheran ears are attuned to hear the proclamation of the law and the gospel everywhere, especially in Holy Scripture, but also in the thousand-voiced chants of street protests. In every context of life, we listen for the one word of God that speaks to human life in ways that feel like a punch or like a promise, depending on where we stand. How do we expect the proud and the powerful to hear the protest chant of Mary. Listen to these words as people of privilege might hear them. Scatter the proud, lift up the lowly. Scatter the proud, lift up the lowly. For them, it's the law, the word of God that sets boundaries in order to create healthy communities and exposes when those boundaries have been crossed. The proud and the powerful hear in these words a word of challenge, a punch. Look out! You are being thrown down from your position of privilege. How do the lowly and hungry hear these same words? Listen to how these words sound from those on the margins of society. Scatter the proud, lift up the lowly. Scatter the proud, lift up the lowly. Now, the very same chant is gospel, the word of God that rescues and redeems, that restores to abundant life. The lowly hear a word of promise in these words, encouragement. Take heart. You are being raised up to freedom, to live the abundant life that God intends for you. That's how my ears hear the Song of Mary today, in the context of street protests taking place all across our nation and around the world. I hear her song coming through a bullhorn, and I hear the response of 1,000 people engaged in public advocacy to scatter the proud and lift up the lowly. But not every time and place is like this. Streets filled with crowds of people calling for change are moments in history, moments that come and go. In the long in-between times lies a very different context, a different pattern of life in which another kind of song is sung. In the long in-between times, when people are alone in their homes rather than gathered in the streets, mothers sing to their small children lullabies of hope. That's another way to hear the Song of Mary, as the nighttime song that Mary sang to Jesus when he was very young, long before he began his public ministry. Songs sung to us at bedtime shape our hearts and our minds. They form our souls within us. I can still recall the songs my parents sang to me at bedtime, and in retrospect, I can see how powerfully the phrases of those lullabies and bedtime prayers framed who I have become throughout my life. I suspect that Mary often sang to her little child Jesus the same words she first sang on the doorstep of Elizabeth's house, or words like them. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, who has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Every generation will call me blessed. Hearing the Magnificat as a lullaby takes nothing away from its power to turn the world. We ought never to underestimate the seeds of hope that are planted by the bedtime songs of mothers in the hearts of their children in the in-between times. During those times when the world's longing for change is being forcibly held down by the proud and the powerful. We have only to look at the witness of our Lord Jesus to see that this is true, that her songs made a difference in his life. The scripture narrative bears this out. We hear the song of Mary being sung yet again when we read about the life of Jesus, who lifted up the lowly, who filled the hungry with good things, who sent the rich away empty, and who scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. The church confesses that Jesus Christ is the incarnate Word of God. That's why his one way of living came across to people as both a punch and a promise, as both challenge and liberation. Jesus' one pattern of self-giving calls into question every instance of self-centeredness, and Jesus' one pattern of self-giving breathes life and hope into everyone being pressed down. This is what it means when the church says that Jesus saves the world. Jesus gave himself away under the crushing weight of the proud and the powerful on their thrones until he breathed his last and died. But then returning good for evil, loving even his enemies, bringing life out of death itself, Jesus toppled injustice of every kind by rooting out its deepest foundation, which is the fear of death. Jesus lives. Jesus loves. Jesus welcomes. The church at its best tells this story with all the bold courage of a street protest and with all the steady perseverance of a mother singing seeds of hope into the hearts of her children, as Mary sang to him. Mary has long been a symbol for the faith of the church, an icon of the church, we might say. The church has found that it can look to Mary to recalibrate its mission. With Mary, the church delivers Christ to the world, as she first did in Bethlehem. With Mary, the church bears witness to Jesus' death and resurrection, as she did by standing at the cross and at the empty tomb. With Mary, the church takes the frightened children of every time and place into her lap and sings to them the song of hope. Hush, little children, don't you cry. I'll teach you how to magnify the Lord who unseats the highest of kings and fills the hungry with all good things. With Mary, let us magnify the Lord. Amen.
My soul does magnify the Lord. My spirit sings of God my Savior. For he has looked